This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Amen. Welcome to the third session of Encounter Jesus of the Forerunner School. When they turned with me to Psalms 23, I thought, you know, I was so stirred by the song. The song, you know, we just hear as we play to prepare our heart. It's from Psalms 23. You know, Psalms 23 is not just a funeral psalms. You know, when I grew up, a young believer, we used to joke about it because I have good friends where I say, when you die, your funeral, if I conduct a funeral, I will talk about Psalms 23. And I told him, when I die before you, if you conduct my funeral, please talk about Psalms 27. No, Psalms 23 is not about, it's not a funeral psalms. Psalms 23 is about Jesus as our great leader. He is our great leader. You know, there's only two, not only, I mean, primarily in my life, I seek to live out two verses. If I can live out these two verses in my life, I believe that I'll be very successful. And I know that I have no ability, no power within my heart to live out these two verses unless I have encountered Jesus as my bridegroom, because he's so passionate for me. That's why last week we talked a lot about Jesus as our passionate bridegroom. See, 1 John 4 verse 19 makes it very clear. We love God is because he first loved us. You know, we have no power within us. We have no ability. It's not about biting a bullet sight, you know. Love God, love God, love God, love God. No, we have no ability. Even at best, it's weak love. There's no way we can live out the first and the great commandment until we first encounter this one who loved us with his all. See, God can justifiably, Jesus can, in very common, demand us to love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind because he loved us with his all. He has given all. He has given all. And we can't love him with our all until we have encountered this bridegroom who passionately loves us and he has given his all. There's two verses in my life that I seek to live out. If I can live out these two verses in my life, I'll be very successful. You know, today is my 18 years anniversary, so we talk about some of these things. You know, it didn't help. We went to this place called Food for Thought. The air conditioner didn't work, so we are eating, drinking coffee, and sweating, and we talk about some of these things. You know, yeah. So I get a little bit emotional, especially this song, because I know I'm here. I was just telling my wife, you know, I'm walking faithfully with the Lord because there's two helpers that helps me. One is, of course, the Holy Spirit. The other one is my wife, okay? But let's come back to this. I know I can be here doing what I'm doing and so on. It's not because I'm smart or not because I just know how to, I figure out everything. I'm more committed to anyone else. It's because there's one man, Son of Man, Son of God, Jesus. He is a great leader. There's two verses I seek to live out in my life. Okay, I mean, must I talk about Jesus as a great leader before we go to talk about humility or whatever. There's two verses that I seek to live out in my life. One is Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. You know, it's a joke that me and Maya always say because we seek to live out this verse to the last full stop, where Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. For this is the first and the great commandment." You know, we have no power within us, no ability to love God with our all until we have encountered Jesus, who is our bridegroom. That's why last Sunday we took more than 2 hours to talk about Jesus as our passionate bridegroom. We talk about Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 32, where it's the God, it's the glory and the mystery of the gospel. Primarily, it's because this is a message of Jesus is our bridegroom. We are his bride. The gospel is more than just when we die, we go to heaven. The gospel is more than just saving us from the hell's fire. The gospel is about Jesus saving us so that we become his bride. We have no power, no ability to love Jesus with our all. No, we all want to, amen? That's why we are all here, because we want to know Jesus and we want to love him, but we can't love him with our all until we encounter this God who has the heart of the bridegroom. But we know that he loves us. That's why marriage, make marriage successful. No, today I'm not going to talk about marriage, but the principle is the same. Marriage can be successful if husband loves the wife. If a husband loves the wife, naturally wife will love the husband and submit to the husband. That's why the trick Paul... Trick? No, not a trick. It's the way, okay? The way that Paul was advising the husband in Ephesians 5, which he realized that actually the Holy Spirit was revealing to him about Jesus as the bridegroom, and they are the bride. You say that, husband, love your wife. Don't whack her. Husband, love your wife. If you love her and love her and love her and love her, eventually she will submit to you and at the same time will love you too. It's the same when we begin to realize Jesus loves us so deeply. We have the power within us to love him. We have no power to love Jesus with our all until our heart encounter Jesus as a bridegroom. That's why I pray. You know, one of the verses to pray is Ephesians 1:17. Pray for the revelation of Jesus as our passionate bridegroom to really stir and strike our heart so that we know. There's another verse. Turning me to, actually, you don't even need to turn to that verse. I think most of us are familiar. There's another verse that I seek to lift out. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And I believe, I mean, my conviction, I only aim to lift out two verses. I always tell people, it's better to lift out one verse, one truth, than you know a thousand truths, but you have not walked it out. There's only two verses. Another one is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. I tell you, if you can lift that verse to the last full stop, you will be very successful. You know what that verse say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not some of your heart. I tell you, that's hard, man. I'm still trying my best to trust God with my all. That means everything, I trust him. I ask him. I seek him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, not some of your ways, not 95% of your ways, not 99.9% of your ways, but in all of your ways. That means 100% in all of your way. What does the scripture say? You acknowledge him. That means you seek him. You ask him. That means this morning, no, I'm just joking, okay? You want to do that, fine. This morning you wake up, you want to go eat breakfast, tell him, where should I go, Jesus? Roti prata or laksa or... No, I'm just joking. No, okay, I'm talking about in everything, you acknowledge him. That's how I always tell people in my house. You know, don't assume that your children after PSLE should go to ACS, which I believe is the best school in the world, or RRI, which is not bad, okay, or whatever. Ask God. Ask God. Maybe God wants your children to go to ITE. You know, most parents are, cannot be, it's the end. Maybe you don't know. That's why it's hard. Because we are using the lens of the world to see and make decisions. But God sees things differently. If God has a plan for your... Just hypothetically, okay? All y'all doing down there, get thee behind me, oh Satan. No, yeah. But because we already decided. But maybe God has a different path for your kid. And when he had wired that way, he had chucked out the path. That is the perfect path. That's why it's hard to live out Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. I've been trying my best all this while, but I know without knowing Jesus as a great leader. Because the issue of trust is the issue of follow, isn't it? You can't follow unless you know that the person is a great leader. He's going to mess you up. He know how to lead. You know, I always say this. There's a difference between willing and able. Some are willing, but they don't have ability. Some are able, but they're unwilling. Jesus is both willing and able. See, you have no power to live out Proverbs 3, verse 5. This is not about sight one, no. For example, I tell you, trust me, give me all your money. I invest for you. I guarantee none of you will give me any money because I'm not an investor, I'm the pastor. You cannot trust me. You want to trust the Lord, you need to have confidence that He is a leader. Not just a leader, He is a great leader. Turn me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Psalms 23 primarily is about Jesus as a leader. You need to understand the Jewish mindset. When you understand the Jewish mindset, you know this Psalms is about Jesus. And Jesus understood, He can identify. You know, there's this verse, I think it's in verse 4 that say that, yeah, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, isn't it? Every Jewish man understood, if they are Messianic Jews, they understood this referring to Jesus. You know why? Jesus is born in Bethlehem, isn't it? I can't remember whether it's Bethlehem or he grew up in a city called Nazareth. Okay, either Nazareth or Bethlehem. Okay, both Nazareth or Bethlehem is at the high point in the land of Israel. And Jerusalem is at the high point of the land of Israel. And to go from Bethlehem or Nazareth, you have to go down a valley and climb up to Jerusalem. You know why they know that it's referring to the lamb that has to be slain? It's referring to Jesus because it's a powerful picture of Jesus walking down the valley of the shadow of death. He's walking to Jerusalem at His first coming to be killed, to go to the cross. So it's referring to Jesus. This Psalms is about Jesus, and there is a powerful portray of that. You don't have to worry. I had been through it. I will comfort you. Not that you will die or whatever. So this Psalms is primarily about Jesus as a shepherd. And more importantly, it's referring to Jesus as a leader that we can have confidence to put our trust in Him because He know how to lead. He is able to lead. And He's not going to ruin you. And when you know that, you're going to totally surrender everything to Him. Do you know that it's wrong to teach in the church that God wants your commitment? God does not want your commitment. You know what God wants? He wants you to surrender. There's a huge difference between commitment and surrender. Commitment is like, okay, I give you 10%, whatever, or 30%, or 50% of my time, or so on. No, God wants you to surrender your all. But very often we can't, it's simply because we don't have confidence that He is able to lead. He is a great leader. He's not going to mess you up. That's the first thing. Secondly, He know how to lead. Write down this statement, okay? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4 first. Then write down this statement. We're going to come back to Psalms 23. No, Psalms 23 is not a funeral psalm, okay? Yeah, I can use that if I die before you or whatever. But that Psalms 23 is about Jesus as a shepherd. He is a great leader. If I use good leader, it's still not doing justice to Him as a leader. He is a great leader. Take me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I thought while hearing this song, I was so stirred. So I thought I want to talk about Jesus as a leader. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 said this. Now thanks be to God who always lead us in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. You know, every time I read this verse, I'm not so much encouraged by we will have triumphant possession, we will have victory. You know, am I encouraged by this verse? He always lead. You see, as a Christian, being victorious, having triumphant possession is a non-issue. It's an issue of matter of time, issue of when. You will be victorious. If you keep walking with the Lord, you will be victorious. It's a non-issue. If you walk with the Lord, it's guaranteed you get better and better down the road. So to me, that is even non-issue. I'm not even so much encouraged by that. Oh yeah, we'll be triumphant possession. What's the big deal? We will be. No, it's a big deal. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about the emphasis of this verse is not that we will be triumphant. We will be triumphant. Didn't Romans 8 says what? We are what? More than conqueror. You know, I read that verse, sometimes I put my hand on my face. Oh God, help me. I'm not even half a conqueror yet. You say you should be more than conqueror. So it's a non-issue. You know what's the issue here that encouraged me? He will always lead. Wow. If He always lead, I can have confidence. That's why I always tell people, I'm here not because I kind of like figure my way out. No, yeah, I know this IHOP thing. You know, I know what to do. Prayer is always an important thing. No, when God tell me do 24/7 house of prayer about 15 years ago, I say it's a bad idea. Totally bad idea. And most of us in the house too at the start, bad idea. I remember I was sharing about this up in Bonnie while Cynthia was crying for a bit. I mean, it's about singing and so on. Bad idea. We are here not because we have figured it out. We are here because one who is able to lead. He know how to lead. That's why I'm very confident. That's why I always tell people, I look forward 10 years from now. What will I look like? Not the age part, lah. I'm not so encouraged about the age part because this year I'll be 50, 10 years, but I'll be 60. I'm not looking forward to the age part. I'm looking forward to how God will lead me there. It will be amazing. It will be awesome. Okay, turn back to Psalms 23. Write this down. This is a statement that I live by. Because truly it's not about my ability to follow the Lord, but Jesus' ability to lead me. When you know that you have confidence to walk, you have confidence to make mistakes, you are not afraid to fail. You know what the problem with us, especially Singaporeans, we are very afraid to fail. So everything, don't try, play safe. What's there to lose? He know how to lead you. No, I'm not asking being brash, being irresponsible, don't think and so on. That's called foolish. Okay, but that sometimes we are so afraid, we don't even dare to step out. People say, I pray, but God never say anything. Never say anything. Just do lah, out of sincerity. He's not going to scold you, no, Cookie. How come he didn't hear me properly? You make a mistake. Okay, I punish you for next 3 months. No, he's not going to do that. You try your best. He know how to lead you. A lot of time, we arrive at the destination. It's not because, you know, my GPS works better or whatever. You know, a lot of time, my GPS is not working. He's holding my hand and dragging me across the finishing line. Then we thought, wow, I'm so smart. When you're in eternity, when Jesus unveiled everything, you say, oh God, how can I not give you glory? I thought I was that smart. Then I really discount myself. I wasn't that smart. Okay. The statement that I often live by is this. Do not put confidence in our ability to follow Jesus. No, don't get me wrong. Or say, oh, I'm set free now. Now I don't care. No. The question is, the statement is, do not put confidence in our ability to follow Jesus, but put confidence in His ability to lead us. Got it? Then you have confidence. You dare to step out. Because every time people say, I can't hear God properly. Who can hear God clearly? Put up your hand. Most of us try our best to hear God clearly. None. I know a few prophets, and some I know in a personal way, very high-level prophets, they tell you this. No one hear God clearly 100%. Even myself, I'm talking about those prophets who see angel and so on, and heaven opened up, they can prophesy when is the earthquake and what is the degree on the Richter scale and so on and so on. They even tell you, I can't too. None of us. But the issue, even if you don't hear properly, the issue is not you hear correctly or hear properly or hear clearly. The issue is that there is one who knows how to lead you. Then you will have confidence. You will have confidence. So do not put confidence in our ability to follow Jesus, but put confidence in His ability to lead us. Then you live a life that is very free. No, I'm not talking about irresponsible, don't think, don't plan. No, your kid having PSL, this year, say, don't worry lah. Jesus has decided whether you go ITE, ACS, RI, Poly, or whatever. Just whatever. No, that's irresponsible. I'm talking about you try your best to plan, but you've in your heart, you have the full confidence and assurance that there is one great leader. He's Jesus. He knows how to lead you. Whether it's your life, your career, your ministry, He's not there to ruin you. He's there to help you. I mean, Jesus is not like He pay everything, He die, and then after that, He's there to torture you. You know, we always have a lot of my friend who grew up. After all, they think that God is there to torture them. No, he's not. Why would he give Jesus as the best to die for you? Then after that, he want to see you suffer. No. He know how to lead. Turn with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. I feel like playing the song again. The song is about the shepherd. Maybe I run through Psalms 23, then I play the song. Then you hear the lyrics and let it touch your heart. That's what about worship. Worship is not just singing nice song with good melody. Worship is about that. The truth of God, you really understand in your heart. When you play it with music, throw in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you say yes, something happened. You know, the song is about shepherd, about Psalms 23. I mean, it's so stir my heart. I hope my wife, I play this for the last 3 months. I only play this song. I repeat, repeat, repeat. After a while, I say, do you have a new song? I say, no, this song. Okay, so you know, if you sell CD, you want to make money from me, it's very hard, right? I always just hear one song for the longest time, okay? You hear them Monday, we play CD. If the song is a song of the season, I repeat it for 5-6 times, okay? Yeah, so people thought that I repeat 5-6 times because it's like ending, you know, just play. No, because you know why? That's what meditation and engaging your heart through worship. It's not just the melody of the song. It's the truth that touch our heart, that we allow it to strike our heart. Then you begin to realize, and God begin to open up revelation and encounter. You realize, man, he is a shepherd that guides me. I can have confidence. Okay, Psalms 23. Psalms 23 says this. Verse 1. What a powerful statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Wow. What does shepherd do? Primarily, shepherd take care of sheep. Okay, let me talk a little bit about sheep. Okay, we are what? Bible says we are what? Sheep, you know, that's not a compliment. Sheep is the dumbest animal the world ever have. Okay, now I need to check at the bell, but I think so. Sheep is, that's not a compliment when Jesus said, you are my sheep. Sheep is real dumb. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm talking about myself. It's real dumb. You want to know about sheep? Okay, see, that's where, do you understand that we have a great, sometimes we think we are very smart, we are not. Jesus called us sheep. I went to England in 1999 or 2000, okay, northern in England. I was in northern India, no, northern England, okay. And you know, England, they have sheep and so on. So I really want to find, but in Singapore, what sheep do you see? You see lamb chop. You don't see sheep and so on. So I heard about sheep is dumb and whatever and so on. So I really want to find out how dumb is dumb. Okay, so I went and see, I saw, you know, that there's this shepherd sat there and he has his... What dog is that? Look, oh, sheep dog. Okay, yeah, of course. Yeah, then what? Yeah, oh, who take care of the one whole flock of sheep? Or I say one whole chunk of sheep. No, yeah. So there were a lot. So I asked the shepherd, no, can you show me or tell me why sheep is so dumb? No, why? How many? Let me see. So he demonstrated something to me. He always stuck in my mind forever because I say this is dumb. Maybe I'm sheep. Man, this is not a compliment, no. Jesus, do you have something better to say about me? You know, yeah, but I'm a sheep. So you know what he did? He took a pole, put across some sort of path. So he began to, I can't do this. Then the shepherd, the sheep dog will chase the sheep and so on. Then the sheep will begin to come a lot because it's a flock, okay, a few hundred. It's really, you never see that kind of flock of sheep. So the sheep come, the first one jump over, second one, no, it's a together, they jump, 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 but it's a long queue, and then they jump, jump, jump. Then after a while, the shepherd took away the pole. Guess what? There's no pole there. The sheep is still jumping. Jump, jump, because they basically follow the one in front. They are that dumb. I said, look at that. I said, amazing. Amazing. Okay, that's sheep. When Jesus calls sheep, that's not a compliment. Oh, yeah, sheep very nice and so on. Yeah, but it's dumb too. But let's come back to the shepherd. Okay. Yeah, I thought I just threw that in because it stick in me forever. I said, unbelievable. You know, sometimes in the eyes of God, we are like that too. The word say, everyone follow. We never really check it out. We are like, you know, jump, jump. Meanwhile, the pole is gone. They jump, jump. He said, why you still jump? Everybody jump, I jump. Okay, never mind. The Lord is my shepherd. What a powerful statement. What does shepherd do? Shepherd lead. Shepherd, protect. Shepherd, provide. Do you know there's a basic need any human is looking for? Lead, protect, provide. And he can do a very good job. The verse said, the Lord is my shepherd. I tell you, you can trust God to lead you. Who wired you? Who made you? If you read Psalm 139, he knows what you like. He knows what you dislike. You know, we have this idea that God is a spoiled sport. He is not. He knows how to lead you. He will not withhold anything good for you. If he withhold, it's because he had better information about you than you yourself know. Because he knows that that thing, if he released to you, he will totally, no, that thing will totally ruin you. So God hold back, not because he's a spoiled sport. That's why sometimes we need to see from the eyes of the Lord. He know how to lead. He protect. He know how to protect. And he provide. He provide. Do you know that there's one great promise Jesus said in Matthew 6:33? You know what Jesus said? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All this thing will be given to you as well. Do you know that God will provide you in this age is a non-issue? Non-issue. Simply because of Matthew 6:33. Seek me first. All this thing will be given to you as well. Because he's a great shepherd. He's a great leader. He know how to lead. He will provide. He protect. Let me share with you. Just I got a few stories, but I better don't tell you. If I tell all the story, I can go until five. You know, because it's true. Even about this lead. I mean, lead, I don't even need to say. I'm here because I didn't figure it out. People ask me next year what's going to happen. I say, don't know. But I know God know how to lead. We all, and see, this ministry always ends at the exact place God wants us to be. It's not because there is this leader or a few leaders here who are really smart. We have figured out everything. Sometimes we don't know. That's why we pray a lot. Only weak people pray. God know how to lead us. He know how to protect us. And I tell many times we want to quit one. Very often. You know, I always say it's not even one hand or one finger. If not because of God that lifts us up, we have quitted a long time ago. Because he know. Provision. You think we have money? We have no money. But God always provides. Okay, that's why the verse said this. I'll tell you two stories about this provision. The Lord is my shepherd. Talk about Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, you must let that get into your heart. Then you will have confidence in trusting him because he is a shepherd. He know how to lead. He will provide. He will protect. He will. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the result? I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. Wow, I tell you, that is a very free way to live. We all worry about lack, right? Jesus promised, you shall lack nothing. You know, we need to understand this verse about what Jesus promised us because a lot of time, our understanding of kingdom finance and kingdom prosperity is wrong. Do you know the kingdom principle of finance and prosperity is not whether you have or you do not have? Is the kingdom principle of finance is you have no lack. You don't have, but when you have need, money will come. You have no lack. Whether it's individual, no, I'm not talking about don't save and don't work, whatever, but I'm there. Understand that you have no lack. Every time you need something, money will come. That's the kingdom principle of finance. It's not an issue. Prosperity, you have a lot of money. Do you know in the Bible, a lot of time prosperity, the word prosper is mentioned, is primarily not material things. It's an issue of your soul, issue of your inner man, issue of your heart. we focus and understood wrongly. It's nothing to do, not nothing. There is a need for material things, but prosperity is not about your money, big car, so on. Prosperity is about God will prosper you in your life, in your calling, in your walk, so on. That's the kingdom finance. You have no lack. You have no lack. It's the way we run our ministry because, I mean, we don't collect offering from the first day. We don't. Because I have a friend who asked me, Kichong, not going to work. I say, yeah, put an offering box. Whoever wants to know, they will give. He said, no, it's not going to work. You must tell them. To this day, we have no lack. We always have money. No, don't think that we are very rich. Okay, don't. I think one thing is we have a few property, you know, never tell you. Anyone. No, this is a joke. Okay, no. We have no lack. God will provide. There's one time, you know, we just need some encouragement. We told the Lord, you know, or I secretly tell the Lord. Once in a while, I ask the Lord to encourage. I need encouragement from the Lord. Not so much. There are big crowd, whatever. All I need to know is, God, you are with me. What we are doing is right. Your presence is with us. It's good enough for me. So that's why I'm just asking the Lord, please, no, whatever. And lo and behold, over the next few months, no, I tell you this story, I work it out for you. Every month, we receive a check of about 30,000 to 40,000 for the next 3 to 4 months. 30,000, 40,000. Me, 30,000, 40,000 to you is nothing. For our ministry, it's a lot. So for a consecutive of 3 or 4 months, we have a total of 120,000 that came to our ministry. Wow. I was trying very hard, no? Who give us the money? We don't know who is this guy. He's never come here. The check was not dropped here, was sent to our P.O. box and so on. And I'm trying to, you know, sometimes I'm trying to prove that God is right, whatever. Say, who in their right frame of mind will give 120,000 to One Thing Ministry? Because we are not famous, not I Help Kansas City, or so on, so on. 120,000? That's how God always provides. You know, that's why when we run conferences, we always run at the lost one. At the beginning. Within 2 or 3 months after the conference, God will cover everything. So every time conference, we not just lose. We will collect money. All the money we will give to the speaker. And the speaker always tell me, Kichong, you sure or not? You're going to suffer a big loss. I say, never mind. It's okay. We are always going through this exercise. You know what's my exercise? I want to see how God provide 2 weeks from now. So recently, we did a conference in December called IHOP Internship. We have a major loss, you know, at the... Before the conference even end, someone sent a check, didn't come for conference, so on, cover everything. So some of my guys didn't believe, say, Kichong, do you take the offering and cover the cost? I said, no, I did not. They said, how did the money come in? I said, that's why it's called supernatural. He will provide. He said, yeah, this is ministry. Do you know, even for my life, from the first day when we started this ministry, I have no pay. I don't raise funds, nothing, but God provide. Because from the first day, He told me that my bargain with God is very simple. God, if I run out of money, I need to eat right. I got a wife right. I got a house, need to pay and so on. So if I run out of money, I quit. He said, don't worry, I will provide. And God promised me that every week money will come in. He said, don't ask, don't whatever. Do you know, to this day, it's about 10 over years, He has not missed a single week. Tell me how the money comes in. I don't know. Sometimes it's in the bank account. Sometimes got check in the mail. Sometimes whatever. You can trust Him. Now, I'm loving this because people ask me, you know, recently I was in Kansas City, so mad, they're all asking me, so what is this whole 10 years most rewarding? I say, the most rewarding thing about doing this house of prayer over the last 10 years is not even because of 24/7 or whatever, but that I know Jesus a little bit more. I get excited about this whole journey because I see the reality of Jesus. That's Him. He's real. So the verse is, the Lord is my shepherd. He's a great leader. I shall not want. This is true. Young man, young woman, this is true. You can, if God asks you to do something, you can have confidence because He will back up. You will have lacked nothing. It's true. Let's go further. Further. He makes me lie down in what? green pasture. You know, God, Jesus make us lie down, not some pasture dry up already, you know. Green pasture. That means it's abandoned. You know, we always have this joke. We look on the other side of the fence, the pasture seems greener. No, Jesus' side is always green one. So don't worry, you know, we don't have to look the other side, you know, the other side greener. No, he make us lie down in. You must know, who is he leading? Sheep. To sheep, what is most important? Eat, sleep, make some milk, and then eventually let us eat. No, I mean, I'm joking. To them, they need to eat, right? Eat what? Grass. He makes me lie down in green pasture. No, you must put in your context that you are a sheep, not David, you know, yeah, now relax. I just execute a few person, finish some court case, so I lie down. Green pasture. Very nice, very short. No, he's talking about he as a sheep. He makes me lie down in green pasture. Listen to this one. He leads me beside what? Still water. In life, we will have turbulences, uncertainty. When Jesus is the one who leads, is beside what? Still water. Water. No, no, he's not talking about, that means all your outward circumstances will be calm and easy. That's not how you live life. You know, Christian way of living life is not outside in, but inside out. When Jesus lead, it's like still water because you have confidence that eventually you will be at the right place. No matter even the whole world shake and fallen apart and so on, you can have confidence because he lead you. That's why as a believer, you live life from inside out so that even when the world outside is all shaking, you are still stable because there's one who lead you beside still water. So that we don't panic. We are not afraid because we know someone who lead us. Third one, I love this. He restore my soul. That means God is, Jesus is committed to heal every of our past. Emotion, physical, spiritual, he restore my soul. We will become better and better and better and better because the guarantee is in his namesake. It's like Jesus kind of, if you don't get better, you're not being restored better and better, my name will be tarnished. Because if you read the whole thing, he makes me lie down in green pasture, is for his name's sake. He leads me beside still water, is for my name's sake. He restored my soul, is about for my name's sake. The last one is what? He leads me to the path of righteousness. No, I like this because I want to be righteous, but I know Jesus will help me to get there better and better. I'll be better and better. I'll be more righteous and more righteous. I have confidence because I know who is the one who leading me. Not because, I need to go to this healing ministry. No, I'm not saying all these are wrong. These are all vessels and channels that God used. But I know eventually when I say, Jesus, you're my leader, you lead me, I put my trust in you, he will lead me. I know that I will become more righteous each day down the road. Because who is my shepherd? Jesus. He's my leader. He will make me lie down in green pasture. He lead me beside still water. He restore my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. He's committed to make me better. He's committed to help me to overcome sin in my life. He is leading me. Now this song kind of feel like, let's give invitation. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go to verse 4. Powerful, isn't it? About Jesus as the great shepherd. We need to have a glimpse so that we say, oh Jesus, I will trust you. We can't surrender our all until we know that he is able to lead us. He is able. Verse 4. Yeah. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know what? He said, I will fear no evil. Do you know why I will fear no evil? You know, we jump to the next one, your rod and your staff. You comfort. No, there's one before that. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, Jesus never leave you nor forsake you. The verse, write this down. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, that word never is wunmi. That means certainly not. Never, 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 never forsake you or leave you. He will be with you. You know, a lot of times, no, you need to hold on to this because there are moments in your life where everything will fall apart. It seems like God has forsaken you. No, He never leave you. Jesus will never leave you. That's why I always tell people this. No sin is too gross that Jesus cannot forgive you. No trouble in your life, pit in your life that's so deep, the Lord cannot pull you up. He can. He will never, 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 never leave you. And because of that, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Because you know there's one who walked through that valley of the shadow of death. He is with you. And He comforts you with a rod and a staff. You know, rod is about the king. Staff is about the shepherd. But both king and shepherd is guiding you and with you. You shall fear no evil. No, I don't like the way that people explain this. You know, yeah, why is that the fear? It's a shadow of death. It's only a shadow. No, try. Whoever describes it that way, you are nullifying and you are, what do you call it? Make small the struggle when someone who is facing death. Oh, shadow of death, not going to die. Then you are not fearful. If someone really facing death, death is coming upon you. You will not fear because what? Because, yeah, it's just a shadow. No, it's not. That's not what it means. You know, in the ancient world, there's this mythical feature of death who comes. You know, death. You know that death is a personality. Death is not just an event. That's why Jesus, at the end of the day, Revelation 20, He has to judge death and Hades. They cast death and Hades into the lake of fire. You don't cast an event into the lake of fire. You cast personality into the lake of fire. So this is not talking about, yeah, event. So it's like, yeah, it's shadow. No, it's like a picture of this person called death coming. You stare with him face to face. His shadow casting on you. You say, man, I'm about to die. And Jesus said, you shall not fear because I am with you. My rod and my staff comfort you. So don't put this verse down. No, I hear people say, yeah, it's just a shadow, just a shadow. No, it's not just a shadow. Wait till you face death. Not even about you're going to die. You face death. Even if a shadow, you tremble, but you have confidence when you know there's one who leads you. Do you know that? If God has destined you to live no matter how many years, nothing will take that away. That is confidence because He will lead you. Let's go to the next one. Next one. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I tell you what confidence. In the midst of enemy, God says, sit down, don't worry, fellowship with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I focus on the cup thing. You anoint my head with oil. My cups run over. You see, a lot of time we skip over this cup thing. You must understand what this cup things mean because it's very important. It's very powerful. Why do we take Holy Communion? Holy Communion is about what? Taking the bread and drinking the cup. Okay, I don't talk about the bread part now. I don't talk about the cup. Do you understand what the cup thing means? When Jesus said, you're drinking to the cup of my covenant, more than just the blood. Do you know that the cup is the cup of marriage covenant? Yes, every time you take Holy Communion, you lift up the cup. It's that you're reminding Jesus, you have made me your bride and the bride-to-be. Every time you lift up the cup, you are reminding your bridegroom, you are coming back for me, isn't it? Even in the midst of my enemy. You see, you must understand, in Jewish culture or in ancient world, when they get married, they have this whole wayang thing where they offer the cup of wine. The bridegroom will offer the cup of wine, a cup in the center. I shouldn't make it drama. Okay, never mind. The wife-to-be will kind of like, want to take. If you take the cup, you're saying that, yeah, I'm giving myself to you. Jesus offered the cup. So every time you partake the communion, it's not just, oh, yeah, I drink to your blood, so I'm all cleansed. Yes, that's partially correct. But there's another powerful thing. When you lift up the cup of the covenant, you're telling Jesus. Matthew 20, you say you come to look for a bride. I'm reminding you, I'm your bride. I'm making myself ready. You're coming for me again. And this is so powerful because in the midst of the enemy, what did he ask you to lift it up? Because he's committed to you. The cup. The cup. When you lift up the cup, it's like, I remember, I will come back. Don't worry, I'm your bridegroom and I'm your leader. Now, when you partake the Holy Communion, understand there's another powerful dynamic. More than just he died for you on the cross, he paid all your sin and so on, but that when you lift up the cup, you're reminding your passionate bridegroom, who is your great leader, come back for me. Come back for me. Okay, verse 6. Another powerful ending. See, Jesus is a leader. He said this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I like that. You know why? If Jesus is a leader, goodness and mercy follow you. Not the other way around. We try very hard to chase goodness and mercy. But what does this verse say? Surely, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of my life. He's a great leader. Don't worry about goodness and mercy. So where's goodness and mercy? Behind. He's following you. Simply the fact that Jesus is the leader. You know, sometimes we chase goodness and mercy because we stop walking with the Lord. So goodness and mercy has bypassed us. No, just keep following the Lord. Allow Him to lead you. Goodness and mercy will follow. You know, sometimes we got it wrong. Like, for example, we chase signs and wonders. You know what does Mark 16 teach us? Signs and wonders will follow you. It's the other way around. We don't chase signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are supposed to chase us. Same for goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen to the last one. David conquered. What confidence he said. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know why? That's a great confidence. David said, because Jesus is my great shepherd. I will be there. I will be at the very place that He has destined for me. I will be near Him. I thought of throwing this. I thought about an hour because this is so huge. We have no power to live out Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 until we encounter Jesus as our great leader. He's a good shepherd. No, I pray that every time you open up Psalms 23, you will see it totally different. And we begin to meditate, oh, Jesus, you are my good leader. I can have confidence, not in my ability to follow you, but I have confidence in my ability to lead you. I can. Amen?